following the teachings of Jesus. I thought some of the first words that Jesus spoke to his disciples were, follow me. There wasn't a big campaign. There wasn't a long list of benefits. There wasn't a casting vision, you know, like we say now. It was just, follow me. And there must have been something about what they heard, how they heard it, what they saw that caused Matthew to just get up. What did he do with all that money? What did he do with the records? What did he do with, you know, the materials that he left behind? He just got up and followed the Lord. We know the fishermen went back to fishing, but they too just responded when he said, follow me. And then he qualified it by saying, I will make you fishers of men. And thank the Lord that that harvest of souls is what the Lord was looking for. Whether it was seed being sown and a crop coming forth, or whether it was fish being caught or sheep being found, whatever it was, the Lord's heartbeat is souls. And I'm thankful that when we follow the Lord, we're going to move into that realm as well and understand the importance of it. Antelope, Oregon became known, a small place, became known because of a compound that was there. I don't know what you'd call it, the Rajneesh followers. Now, Rajneesh is, Eastern religion. But here's what's so unique about that. Those followers of his identified themselves by wearing red. And that became an area to avoid by others, especially apostolics. They're not going to wear red because they're not going to identify with the Rajneesh followers. But those followers were sincere. They devoted themselves to him and to his teachings. They gave all of their money. We talk about giving, and thank God this is a church, again, this is a district of givers. But their giving allowed him to purchase a Rolls Royce 57 times. He had 57 Rolls Royces. And I don't think he's talking about the Silver Spur. I think he's talking about the Silver Shadows, you know, the real limousine, fancy one. By the way, I saw a Rolls Royce in Spokane. He had that Spirit of Ecstasy symbol on the hood, you know, the Flying Lady, whatever it is. And it was parked in the dollar store parking lot. Actually, it was on the other end where the bank was. I was probably a bank worker. But I had to drive around it again because I wanted to see that emblem on the hood. And, pretty amazing. But the followers of Rajneesh were so devoted and so committed that they gave everything. They changed their lifestyle. They changed their dress. They changed everything. And this man, whatever happened to him, Brother Walker, was he convicted of corruption of some sort, and that's how they ended up disbanding? Those poor followers. And it just was a difficult thing. But, you know, you think about followers who were committed like them. Remember the Hale-Bopp comet? And those followers who dressed in their little uniform and committed suicide because they thought a spaceship was behind that comet and was going to come and pick them up. Now, those were college graduates. Those were professionals. Those were very successful businessmen, not down-and-out people that were lured into a false sense of prosperity and improvement. And a large number of them died. I pray God help us as your followers to be worthy of that title or of that term. Amen. I remember seeing a bumper sticker. I'm weird. I read bumper stickers. And this bumper sticker was kind of a prayer. It said, Lord, protect me. Oh, that's good. Lord, protect me. But then I got kind of a frown after I read the rest. Lord, protect me from your followers. Now, did that person have somebody knock on their door and insult them? Did that person have someone witness to them in a way that may have been condemning? Did that person have neighbors who were hypocrites? You know, God help us to be able to be the followers that the Lord wants and that the Lord desires, so that we're always a witness of what he wants us to do. Praise God. So, our focus verse, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? That doing what he says is what qualifies us as followers. Amen. Thank the Lord. Followers from the very beginning. You know, the training wheels example that is given in your lesson. Most of us have been serving God long enough that we don't have the training wheels anymore. We've got the balance. I think I heard another word besides balance at the conference. I heard blend. And I thought, you know, blend is a good way to explain it too. I'm going to blend my natural responsibilities, my spiritual responsibilities, all together, so that they're, those of you who are cooks know that a blender does a pretty good job of combining whatever ingredients you've got in there, and it's almost impossible to separate them after that blender has done its work. And so I need to blend everything together in my walk with God. And, you know, the saying, be so spiritually minded, I'm no earthly good. That can become a reality. That can become a mistake. So we need that balance. We need that blend. And the new ones still need the training wheels. Don't make fun of them. Don't expect too much of them. You know, try to remember what it was like when you were learning things step by step and point by point and here a little, there a little, line upon line, and so on. You weren't perfect. You were far from it. I know, because I looked in the mirror and remembered my steps and my walk. And so don't you be demanding of somebody who is new and still using their training wheels, because they're using you as an example. Maybe that's what the man who had the bumper sticker was meaning, protect me from your followers. Because if they had you for an example, hopefully they're learning how to pray. They're learning how to fast. They're learning how to be faithful. And if your example is going to be a positive one, then that's going to be the outcome. And we thank the Lord for it. It points out at the end of the article, there's no upward limits. I like that phrase, no upward limits. And in sin, there's no downward limits. Unfortunately, we see a lot of that, and the difficulties that people encounter, the things that they're up against, the hardships that they bring to themselves because of their choices and wrong decisions, going in the wrong direction. No downward limits. But thank God the Lord is able to save them to the uttermost. No upward limits. We can keep soaring, we can keep reaching, we can keep experiencing, we can keep having the good things of God in our lives if we'll desire to do the work of the Lord. Amen. So our scripture lesson talks about being blessed of the Lord, and that certain actions or certain situations, the blessings of God come upon you, even though you may not feel like being persecuted is a blessing. The blessing means may life go well with you. So, okay, we're being made fun of. We're being mocked. We're being ridiculed. How is that going to have life go well with you? You know, you've got to understand that there are times that the devil is going to try to knock you down and dog your steps and follow after you and mock you and try to, you know, double your doubt, double your fear. But you've got to be able to stand and rebuke him and resist him, because that's what the word says. If you're going to be a follower of the Lord, that's what you're going to do. Get thee behind me, Satan. Amen. And thank the Lord, there will be the results that God is looking for. But there also can be an assurance, especially after you've won a victory, especially after you've done something amazing, that the attack comes. That's an assurance that you're doing things right. Amen. I looked at Sister Belinda and the pain that she had on her right side, which seemed to be appendicitis, and it turned out to be something else, but the pain was still there. That came after she introduced her mother to an apostolic pastor and associated her with that apostolic pastor who lives, a mile away from her house, 2 or 3 miles away? So the connection was good. Amen. But the devil didn't like that. And so he came with an attack. And sometimes we can take it as an assurance of what the Lord is doing. But the text there says in Luke 6, rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Really? I don't like to be persecuted. I don't like to have the door slammed in my face. I don't like to have somebody mock and ridicule and question and so on. But the Lord says that shows you have chosen the right values, the right aspects that are eternal and not of this earth. And you're recognizing the power and the blessing of God that comes as you walk with the Lord. You know, in Acts 5, the disciples were persecuted. They had some strong things come against them, but they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Now, that's got to be a choice. That's got to be a strong choice for us to be able to recognize, okay, I must be on the right road. I must be on the right path. Now, that doesn't mean do stupid things, you know, hitting somebody upside the head with Acts 2:38. You know, that I know the preacher said he's going to change the town with an axe and 2:38s, but we're not literally going to do that. We've got to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves and move into the realm where the Lord is going to do that work. Amen. But in addition to the blessing in our text, verses 24 to 26 says, woe unto you. So it's our choice. Where are we going to line up? Are we going to choose the blessings of the Lord, or are we going to live in the area where there's a woe? Because they're both from the Lord. And so followers of the Lord obviously are going to move into the realm of obedience and doing what the will of God says, what the Word of God says. The phrase is used at the bottom of page 229. I don't know if you've got the same text stuff that I have, but it talks about being a volunteer for a rough ride. And I thought about Roosevelt and his Rough Riders. And the conflict that they willingly went into, and how they weren't afraid of the battle. They moved right in. Well, that's the, and remember the Lord said, if you don't take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy. So that following has a price. That following has a commitment, and I've got to be able to step into that realm where a new set of values is what I discover in walking with the Lord, and being able to move into the realm of obedience regardless of what the cost is, and not expect a pat on the back, not expect a whole slew of assurances, but just remember, I'm doing what his word has told me to do. And I'm going to follow through with what he desires. Amen. So being able to move into that realm of finding the solid ground, you know, lead me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, is how David phrased it in Psalm 23. Those paths of righteousness are going to have some situations that are not comfortable. Even though David said, he leads me beside the still waters, he leads me in green pastures, and it looks so peaceful, it looks so nice and so on. The paths of righteousness can be, you know, tough, rough. But I choose to follow that because I know where it's taking me. I know where it's going. Praise God. And so I want to find the strength that I need in him. So the process of becoming a disciple is fraught with a lot of difficulties. You know, Rapid City and Mount Rushmore kind of tickles me that they are speaking of movement and fast and so on when it's a mountain. It's not going anywhere. But anyway, there's four presidents whose faces are carved into that mountain. Anybody been to Rushmore? You've been there? Okay, you've seen it. Who is that? Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln, Roosevelt, yeah. And to try to alter one of them into another, you know, let's say Ben Franklin. Ben Franklin should be up there, even though he isn't a president. You can't do it. Even though to remove a lot of hair from Lincoln would be good to make the image of Franklin, it's just not going to work. So when the Lord is chipping away on us, you know, don't be comparing yourself to somebody else. You let the Lord do the work on you because you're unique. There's no one like you. No sense in trying to be like somebody else. Everybody else is taken. Just be you. And let the Lord use you. Let the Lord develop you. Praise God. And the blessings of the Lord will be there. The power of self-sacrifice is something that this world has lost, to deny yourself. Now, I'm not talking about doing harm to yourself, but denying self. And like Paul said, I die daily. What was he dying to? Dying to self. Dying to his own ambitions, his own ways, his own desire for things. So we understand that I'm going to value what he values. I'm going to seek what he wants me to seek. I'm going to follow after him the way that he would desire me to follow him. Praise God. And though at times it may seem like I'm miserable because of his discipline, because of his chipping away at me and so on, I'm going to find out it's for the better. It's going to work out for the better. Nobody likes being in a dentist chair. If you do, I'll make an appointment with you, with Brother Bradbury for you. None of us, I'm pretty sure. But we all understand the benefit, especially if we've got a cavity or we've got a situation that needs to be repaired, needs to be fixed. We know it's going to be better. It's going to get better. And that's how we've got to view the things of God sometimes when we're on the potter's wheel and his fingers are digging and he's shaping and he's removing and taking out impurities and fixing the imperfections. And those hands are, you know, they're tender, but yet they're doing what they need to do. And so we've got to make sure we're following the Lord and the way that he would have us to do and be strengthened to be lifted up in him and show the power of the Lord and be directed in him. However, do supernatural things confirm our spirituality and our integrity. This is where we get the confusion of these signs shall follow them that believe, not the believers follow the signs. That's the important thing. You know what I thought about when the Lord said there are those who are going to say, lo, here Christ, and oh, there Christ. Christ is anointing. There are people who are going to pursue the anointing just for the feeling, just for the power, just for the, you know, not because they are in love with Jesus Christ, not because they value him, not because they're aware of who he is, but for what he can do. That's what they're seeking. And so the sensational, oh, wow, this is awesome. There was a man who could do incredible things. In fact, he was in a hotel and the air conditioner broke down. He laid his hands on the air conditioner and it started working. He saw miracles. He saw the things of God working and healings and so on. It was amazing. But by their fruit, you shall know them. Unfortunately, this lesson reports that man with his poor financial management destroyed his church. His relational management destroyed his marriage. And his ministry fell apart. You've got to be real. You've got to make sure every corner is swept. You've got to make sure the one who comes with a candlestick is welcome to investigate every room in your life. Amen. The one who said, I'm going to search Jerusalem with candles. And you allow him into your heart and into your life. I love the prayer of the psalmist in Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. And I struggle sometimes for the next part of the prayer. Try me and know my thoughts. But it's necessary because 24 says, see if there be any wicked way within me and lead me in the way everlasting. That's what we're striving for. That's what we're desiring. That's what we've got to reach for all the time as followers of the Lord. Because remember, there's nothing more deceitful. There's nothing more wicked than what? Your heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is desperately wicked, desperately deceitful, wicked above all. And that's why we got to let the Lord open our heart and let the Lord do the work in our life. Let the Lord show us, because verse 9 talks about how the situation is. Verse 10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I, the Lord, give reward. And that's what we've got to open ourselves to and let the Lord investigate every area of our heart so that the end is better than the start. The finish is better than the start. And that's what God wants us to do in our lives and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So we continue on. We're following him. We know that actions speak louder than words. And Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so what's in us is what we want to influence others. And obviously being filled with the Spirit so that, you know, you get bumped. You're carrying your cup of coffee and you get bumped and it sloshes. If you get bumped, what's in you needs to be able to be what's spilled. And the Spirit of God, the Word of the Lord, the patience, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. All of those aspects that are there, we've got to be able to follow through. Now, remember, Jesus talked about the foundations and the building on the foundations. The real truth about that story is obedience, isn't it? Because he says, you hear my words and you do them, That's like the man building on the rock. He digs down. He digs deep, the Luke rendering says. You know, we've got to dig through a bunch of stuff sometimes. We've got to make sure we're digging deep enough, not just surface, not just shallow, deep enough that we're on the rock, we're on bedrock. The person who hears and does not do is the person building on the sand. Now, the same circumstances come to both builders. The storm, the rain, the wind, the flood. You know that rain falls on the just and the unjust. We shouldn't be surprised when things come against us to some degree, and we're experiencing life. But because you're on the rock, and you're on the rock because you obey, that's what is going to bring us through and bring us into the blessings of the Lord and the strength of God. And then at the same time that he tells that story, he gives the example of those who come to him saying, Lord, Lord, we cast out demons in your name. We did many wonderful works in your name. And yet he says, depart from me. I don't want that to happen to us. I don't want that to be what we hear. I want us to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. Good and faithful. Because we're followers. We choose to be followers. And there's evidence of our following. Because we obey what the Word of God says and be able to move into that realm of having the Lord moving in our lives. And by the way, just adding the Lord to our old mindsets is not going to work either. That's why you have to dig down all the way to bedrock. Not just adding the things of God onto our old lifestyles. What did Jesus say about new wine in old wineskins? It's going to burst and you're going to lose both. New wine into new wineskins. That's the newness that God wants to bring to you so that you don't lose anything, but you hold on, you benefit, you're blessed, and the things of God continue to be manifest in your life, and not only your life, but others as well, because you follow. You know, we're driving home, and we come through the burn area. It's still real ugly and still real awful, but I'm surprised at how many of those trees, dead, burned, leafless, they're still standing. There's been some strong winds come through there. There's been some amazing situations with ice and snow and all of that. They're still standing. Amazing how God, with living things, provides that kind of a strength. And even though those trees are dead, they're still stable. They're still strong. Now, God doesn't want us to die. He wants us to continue living and produce fruit, that your fruit would remain, and there would be much fruit. You know, John 15, how he emphasizes fruit so much there, is the recognition of the benefit of following the Lord. Praise God. And so our demonstration of the fruit that God wants to put in our lives, produce in our lives, needs to be something that is the result of following him. And thank the Lord that there's that kind of evidence likewise of how the Lord provides and how the Lord blesses. Now, fences. Fences are good, fences are bad. Well, we know it's both. Fences keep things out, fences keep things in. And if we're not careful, we can focus on the fence. We can make sure we're building a fence that's stout and secure and no holes and no breaches and the rules and the regulations and bless God, you're going to live for the Lord. This is the way it's going to be. If you don't have it in your heart, that fence is going to be a hardship for you rather than a blessing. You've got to have it inside both your heart and your head so that your hands demonstrate that you're following him. And it's a choice. You know, the story is included probably in your book about the difference between a bull who is behind the fence and always trying to find a way out and a border collie who wants to stay on the farm, content to be on the back porch, willing to go out when the farmer is taking care of the cattle and the sheep or whatever is in the field. And because of that bond, that collie is glad when the owner comes home or glad to be able to go out and herd and so on. Whereas that bull is always looking, how can I get out of here? How can I go down the street and down the highway and get into that other pasture where there's cows and so on, you know, and seeking his own pleasure. But the collie is recognizing a bond. That's a simple illustration of how there's got to be a bond in our lives to the Lord and following him not because we're trying to just avoid hell. Thank God we are avoiding hell. That's not where we're going because we're following him. But I don't follow the Lord just to avoid hell. I follow him because I love him and because I want to spend eternity with him. And so we recognize that blessing in the Lord and continue that strength in him. Because no barrier is strong enough for an untamed heart. You're going to find a way out eventually. And we recognize how important that is. Now, in our day and age, knowledge is so available. The computer has opened up. You can type in whatever. That's what I did with Rolls Royce this morning. Didn't know what that ornament is called. Spirit of Ecstasy. Huh. Never going to have one on my hood. But knowledge is so available. And our young people, your children, need to know why we do what we do. They need the fence. They need the restraints. They're not mature enough to operate without them. But eventually, they need their own experience. That's why the promise is to you and to your children and all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And thank God he's still pouring out his Spirit. It's still happening. They're still being filled with the Holy Ghost and the awesome power of God that's going forth. Amen. We've got some exciting things ahead of us. There's a children's crusade going to happen here. The General Children's Ministry Division is going to come. And I think it's at camp meeting time. And we're going to see a lot of our kids get filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. It's going to happen. Amen. Brother Robinette, the former missionary to the German-speaking people and now an international evangelist and travels and does some incredible works that are happening. They just finished a big crusade in Brazil, and hundreds received the Holy Ghost. He'll be coming and doing ministry here the middle of April. So we've got to get out and get people to come, get them ready. Praise God. Awesome if they received the Holy Ghost before that time. But a wonderful opportunity to have us bring our Bible study people in, bring our people we invite, people we've worked with and prepared their hearts, prepared the soil, sowed the seed. Amen. And we do that before. You know, we don't wait until just the day before. Oh, Brother Robinette's going to be here on our Thursday service. You need to come because you can receive the Holy Ghost. Prepare them now. That's what followers of the Lord do. They go out and get people ready and prepare their hearts, amen, and desire to see the Lord do a work in their lives. Praise God. And I'm thankful that our lives can reflect the truth of we're followers of the Lord. We're on rock solid ground. our fruits are not sour lemons. You know, they're something that can bring enjoyment and peace and pleasant experiences to others. Amen. It's just what God desires in our lives. And I'm thankful that that can be the outcome, that can be the result, that can be the blessing that comes forth, because the Lord desires to do that kind of work. Amen. Now, following the Lord has got to be a daily decision. You know, we talk about revival, and we mean in that, by revival, generally, we mean special services, a special speaker, and that excitement, and so on. But really, that's kind of a misnomer, because we should be in revival all the time. you know, somebody in a terrible accident, and you do CPR on them, and they're revived. You know, that's not the purpose of a special speaker, to do CPR on the church and it's revived. No, it needs to be alive, needs to be powerful, needs to be strong now, and then be able to invite others. Amen. And because there's evidence of joy, because there's evidence of blessing, there's evidence of the good things of God in your life, that somebody will say, yeah, I'm interested in that, yeah. And we hear testimonies of people stopping saints in the grocery store or whatever. What church do you go to? And I'd really like to have what you have, you know. And those things are real because they're seeing something real. And thank God that can be the experience that we have as well. And I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord and the blessings of God. We were coming home from San Diego. We were down there for the training of small groups, and we're waiting in the gate at the airport, and a man came and said, you're ministers, aren't you? And I said, yeah, yes, we are, United Pentecostal Church ministers. And he started explaining what was going on in his life, and he was leading up to, would you pray? And so I beat him to it. I said, well, you want us to pray? And so we went behind the little, you know, how there's the desk and then the windows out there, and there's the where the person stands to check in the computers and check you in and all that sort of thing. So we went behind that little area and we prayed. And I'm thankful. Yeah, I don't know what happened. I never got the man's number or address or anything like that. The Lord knows. I don't know what the outcome was of that prayer, but I'm thankful that there was somehow the recognition that we were followers of the Lord. And you ladies, very, very visible. Amen. And I know there's a smile that goes with your adornment. I know there's a spirit that goes with it. It's not just the hemline, not just the neckline, the sleeve length, and all of that. That's part of it. But let it be your smile. Let it be your attitude. Let it be your spirit. Amen. That is what ministers. I got a call from my first grade teacher. And they were in Arkansas. And her husband had been my high school math teacher. But for some reason, they wanted to touch base with me. And I guess my wife characterized it as though that was a goodbye, and it probably was. I haven't heard of Mr. Hembury passing or anything, but he was not in good health. But the way she found my number is she saw a young lady in town that looked like she went to a Pentecostal church. And so Carol asked her. Carol, by the way, received the Holy Ghost and was baptized in Jesus' name. My first grade teacher. Praise the Lord. But she'd stopped that young lady and asked her if she could find Mitch Glover's number. And so she did. Went to the directory and so on. But how was Carol Hembree able to identify? Well, there's a follower. Praise God. And I want you to have that evidence of being a follower of the Lord as well. Not just externally. Of course, that's what people say. That's you know, they only see the outside of you. But let the outside be a witness of what's on the inside. So that people will not be afraid to ask for prayer, for where do you go to church, for how do I find the Lord? You know, who knows what they're going to ask? There are all kinds of questions today. My word, all kinds of situations going on in this world right now. A lot of instability. But you are on a solid rock. And you know how to give directions. You know how to give the teaching. You know how to say the words that can bring them into a new birth experience. Praise God. Let's ask the Lord to help us as followers of Him to bring others into the recognition of being obedient. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, we thank You for the privilege of being Your followers. Thank You that You called us out of darkness into Your marvelous light. Oh, Lord, help us, I pray, as Your people to be effective in this world today, to reach the lost, to reach the hurting, to reach the heartbroken. Oh, God, help us now, Lord, to be Your people, Your hands, Your feet, Your voice. Oh, Jesus, as followers of You, use us in Your spirit. Use us in Your truth. Use us in Your spirit, God. Thank You, Lord God. We praise You. We glorify You. Oh, Lord, Your workers, Your laborers in the harvest. We praise and glorify You now, Lord. In Jesus' great name. In Jesus' great name. Amen. Amen. Goodness, this time goes by fast, doesn't it? All right, I've got the new quarterlies. So, or I guess we call them devotionals now. They're not quarterlies, but we'll give them out to you now. God bless you. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord. We're looking forward to a worship time and loving the Lord again. Amen.